It's good to be in worship with you today, those of you who are here in person in the sanctuary, as well as those of you who are worshiping with us online. We're in a sermon series called Formed by Following, Authentic Discipleship. Today I'm going to preach on a different passage than I had originally planned. It's not the passage listed in the bulletin. I'm going to preach from Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 42. I've just been feeling led to lift up this text today, and the title of my sermon will be Tear-Stained Hands. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word, help them to hear your word, and Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. As the body of Christ, we are called to be the hands of Christ in our community. We are called to carry out Christ's ministry in the world. So as we begin Holy Week, and recall the final events of Jesus' earthly life, let's turn our attention to his hands. During that fateful week, Jesus did several important things with his hands. And these acts show us how to be the hands of Christ today. First, Jesus used his hands to overturn tables at the temple. He was angry that money changers were exploiting the poor and turning a place of worship into a den of robbers, and he took action to stop them. If we are to be the hands of Christ, we are to challenge patterns of injustice. We are to stand up for the poor. We are to lift up the downtrodden. Second, Jesus used his hands to wash the disciples' feet. In a sublime act of service, Jesus took a towel and a basin and knelt down before his inferiors. As I heard one preacher put it, Jesus washed muck and manure off of feet he created. If we are to be the hands of Christ, we are to roll up our sleeves. We are to humble ourselves and to serve others in love. Third, Jesus used his hands to break bread. He sat at the table with his disciples and shared food. If we are to be the hands of Christ, we are to share food with those who need it. The earth, we are told, produces a plenty of food for everyone on the planet to be nourished. It's our responsibility to help distribute the food equitably and broadly so that all can taste of God's bountiful provisions. Fourth, Jesus used his hands to heal somebody. When the authorities came to arrest Jesus, one of the disciples drew a sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's slave. In that moment, Jesus didn't say, "Let's get him." Nor did he say, "Let's make a run for it." He said, "No more of this." Then he reached out and touched the man's ear and restored it. If we are to be the hands of Christ, we are to choose healing over harm. We are to choose healing over hostility. We are to reach out and touch people's lives in a healing way. Fifth, Jesus used his hands to save the world on the cross. He opened his arms in love, and as they hammered the nails into his hands, he was pierced for our transgressions. His blood trickled down, and he became the atoning sacrifice for our sins. On the cross, Jesus made up for everything we have done wrong. On the cross, Jesus conquered the cosmic power of sin, setting us free from its grip. His saving grace is activated in our lives when we put our faith in him. If we are to be the hands of Christ, we are to open our arms in love and make personal sacrifices for the sake of others. According to the events of Holy Week, being the hands of Christ involves challenging injustice, serving others, sharing food, touching people's lives in a healing way, and making sacrifices of love. But there is something even more fundamental to being the hands of Christ, which brings me to one of the first things Jesus did during his last earthly week. After they put him on an animal, and people cheered and waved palm branches and shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," he moved closer to the city, and he saw the skyline of Jerusalem. Keep in mind that according to Luke, Jesus had been traveling toward Jerusalem for a long time. In fact, he had been moving in that direction for 10 whole chapters. It had been quite a journey. Yet when he finally saw the city, he did not rush in. When he finally saw the city, he did not hurry toward it. When he finally saw the city, he stopped, he looked, and he wept. He knew Jerusalem would reject him as God's Messiah. He knew the city had great potential, but was not a place of righteousness. He knew the city would be overtaken in a few short decades. He knew the people there did not know the things that make for peace. And he cared about the people so much, and he loved them so deeply that he wept for them. When we reflect on the last week of Jesus' earthly life, this time of year, and when we recall the many important events that occurred, we often overlook the tears he shed when he first looked upon the city. But modern-day pilgrims to Jerusalem get a stunning reminder. Back in the winter of 2000, I was walking with a group of fellow college students on the Mount of Olives toward the Kidron Valley as we looked over the great city of Jerusalem. We saw a chapel on the side of the walkway, and so we went inside. The chapel is called Dominus Flevit, which means the Lord wept. It is a beautiful chapel designed in the shape of a tear. The chapel is there to commemorate Jesus weeping over the city, to remind everyone who passes by not to rush in first without considering Christ's holy tears. Sometimes we all need to worship in the shape of a teardrop. Sometimes we all need a reminder that tears can be holy. The Greek word translated wept in Luke 19:41 is eklousen, which is a very strong verb. According to Bible scholar Malcolm Tolbert, it connotes heartbroken sobbing. The term indicates that Jesus did not just get teary-eyed. He did not just sniffle. He wept profusely. This is the kind of weeping that produces tears so rapidly and abundantly that you can't wipe them away with a finger. You have to use your whole hand. Jesus buried his face in his hands and cried over the state of the city. He is a man of sorrows who is acquainted with grief. He identifies so closely with those who are suffering that he not only weeps for them, but also weeps with them. He hurts with them as he says, "If you had only recognized the things that make for peace." There has been no shortage of tears lately. I have been reading about the spa shootings in Atlanta that occurred on March 16th. 6 of the 8 persons tragically murdered were women of Asian descent. Although the shooter's stated motive does not pertain to racial hatred, violent events are triggers that evoke past traumas. And this shooting evokes a long history of anti-Asian animosity that includes discrimination, harassment, injustice, and violence. Hostility toward Asian Americans has swelled over the past year, even though it is irrational, unethical, and sinful to blame the pandemic on Asian Americans. All of this has left Cornell student Elizabeth Sophia Lee in tears. Lee recently wrote about her experiences of being called racial slurs, being told to, quote, go back to North Korea, and being mocked for the shape of her eyes. She said that lately she has broken out into tears on walks, during classes, during meals, and during meetings. I cannot focus on schoolwork, she writes, and I feel like I have no self-control with my emotions due to the trauma committed against our AAPI community. We need allies, she says, and we need support and solidarity. Christ has stained his hands over this. Last Monday, March 22nd, I read about a shooting at a Colorado supermarket. In the majestic mountain town of Boulder, a man with a firearm killed 10 people, some who were working at the store, some who were shopping at the store, and one courageous police officer who rushed in as a first responder. Pastor Andrew Doherty of Pine Street Church in Boulder, whom I know from Divinity School, told his congregation that the shooting is a tragic reminder that even a regular mundane errand of going to the grocery store doesn't mean we can be safe. Christ has stained his hands over this. Over the weekend, I read about violence in Myanmar and Mozambique that has left many people deceased. I read about a shooting spree in Virginia Beach that left 2 people dead and 8 people injured. I read about a shooting in South Richmond that left a woman in critical condition. On Friday afternoon, my wife, Dana, our daughter, Nora, and I went for a walk in our neighborhood about 2.5 miles from here, as we often do, when suddenly an ambulance, fire trucks and police cars came zooming around the corner. We later learned that a neighbor of ours, a widely beloved classmate of our daughter Maggie, had been shot and killed on our street. Lucia Bramer's death has devastated her family and friends and has cast a shadow of sorrow over the neighborhood. The community is flooded with tears. Christ has stained his hands over this. Far from a stoic savior, Christ was known to break out into tears when he felt something deeply. He cries, as he says, "If only you had recognized this day the things that make for peace." He's not the kind of person that just talks about love. He feels it deep in his gut, and it shows. He weeps with all who weep. He suffers with all who suffer. His heart breaks for all who are heartbroken. At the outset of Holy Week, it is vital to recognize that before Jesus entered the city to do ministry with his hands, he wept on them tears of compassion. It was tear-stained hands that overturned tables in the temple. It was tear-stained hands that washed the disciples' feet. It was tear-stained hands that broke bread and shared it. It was tear-stained hands that touched the high priest's slave in a healing way. And it was tear-stained hands that received the nails on the cross. Only hands stained with tears of compassion could have endured the nails for us at Calvary. If you want to know how much Christ loves us, just picture his hands nailed to the cross. Hands stained with tears of compassion. Hands stained with the blood of our salvation. One requirement for followers of Christ, then, is to stain our hands with tears of compassion for the city, for the community, and for the world. To be disciples, authentic disciples of Christ, means to love our neighbors so much that we feel for them in our gut. It means to care for them so intensely that it produces an emotional reaction. This depth of compassion is available by connecting to the crucified Christ through faith. Oh, that God would give us the great compassion of the Savior, that we might take our tear-stained hands and reach out with them, that we might take our tear-stained hands and bless our neighbors with them, that we might take our tear-stained hands and challenge injustice, serve other people, share food, touch people's lives in a healing way, and make sacrifices of love with them. Oh, that we might take our tear-stained hands and use them to transform the world for the glory of our amazing God. Amen.